Good morning, everybody. It's an honor and a privilege to be here with you today. We woke up this morning to something that, woke up to something this morning that we're not used to these days. There was ice on the windshield. Now, a lot of times when I go to a church, they introduce me as from California, and I always let people know that I'm from Cody, Wyoming. My wife's from Great Falls, Montana. That gets us back in people's good graces. And God had a sense of humor and sent us as missionaries to a foreign nation called California. Oh, my goodness. That is our gas. I found the cheapest place that right now is about $1.75, I think. I think we got it at one place for $1.50 something. But most of all the gas stations are in the $4.70. And so yeah, it's quite a thing. But God allowed my wife and I was a pastor for 30 years. And my testimony in a short nutshell before I start singing. In 1995, I woke up on July 5th, 1995, and I was all gnarled up and couldn't move and was somewhat in an embryonic position. And that lasted for about a month, couldn't preach and whatnot, and went away and it kept coming back. And finally, in 1997, I was diagnosed with advanced Lyme's disease, compromised my nervous system, my muscular system, and my soft tissues. And I've spent probably 65-70%. More like 65, I would say, over the last 25, 26 years or so in a wheelchair. And been through Mayo Clinic and lots of different hospitals and places. And not even really supposed to be alive, but God decided I was. And doctors, my dad passed in February at 90 years of age. But he always used to tell me that they're just practicing physicians. They do not know what they're doing. And God just allowed us to keep going. And back in 2010, I started having various seizures, had some times of memory loss where I didn't know who I was for days on end. And finally, and God, we just kept pressing on somehow. One of the ways I did, and my wife did, is because God blessed us with an incredible church. And our church just stuck behind us, loved my four children, wrapped their arms around our family. And I will tell you this, there's nothing like a great church. And we thank the Lord so much for our people. And but in 2018, first Sunday of 2019, I stepped down as the pastor. And back in 1990, I led a man to Christ. And many years later, his son married my daughter. And Stephen, my son-in-law, is now our pastor. And I tell people everywhere that he's doing so good, it ticks me off. God's blessed so good, and it's just great. And we're so thankful for that. But the Lord opened up the doors. I didn't know what the Lord was going to allow me to do with the health that He had placed in our lives. But God has opened doors, and, you know, He somehow, I haven't missed a church or a service yet since the January of 2019. God has just allowed us to go and be used of Him. And I'm so grateful for that. You know, the songwriter years ago wrote the song, "To be used of God is my desire." And I hope that's your desire. And I'm so thankful for your pastor. I've been wanting to come see your church for the longest time. My brother-in-law is Pastor David Hemphill, and he loves your pastor and spoke very highly of your church. And, of course, I've been good friends with Brother Gomez for, I don't know, I ran into him at a camp back in, I think, 89 or 90 out in California. And that Louisianian got up and just, you know, ripped. And I thought, I like this guy, you know. And then I sat down with him and we started talking about shooting animals. And I grew up in Wyoming, so that was I liked that. And so I've known of your pastor for a good long time. And I appreciate faithful men of God. The older that I get, the more that I appreciate the faithful men of God. And I just enjoyed getting to know him and his dear wife. His wife's name is the same name as my mother, Joyce. And it's a blessing. But anyway, my dad was a pastor. He just passed away in February. He's 90 years old. And my wife's dad was a pastor. And my mother's dad was a pastor. And problem is that he was an interdenominationalist that was heavily mixed up in Pentecostalism, and he really didn't know what the gospel was. And so for years, my mom, growing up in his church, she never knew whether or not she was going to go to heaven or not. She had no confidence about anything. And my father was a newborn Christian when they got married. And my mom was just filled with constant doubt. And finally, one day, she shared with my dad that she just had no peace in her heart that she was going to go to heaven. And my dad sat my mom down, and he showed her that verse in the Bible that tells us that God can't lie. It's not that he doesn't lie. It's that he can't lie. You know, and he walked her through the gospel, and each step, every verse that he went to, he said, now God said that, and he can't lie. So we know that's true. And he just went through step by step, and he got all done. And my mom bowed her head and prayed and accepted Christ, and she never doubted her salvation ever after that. Years later, my little daughter April, my youngest of the four, she, every time I preached on hell, every time a Sunday school teacher talked about, I think about 35 people led my daughter April to Christ. Every time, you know, she'd run in, and somebody, people would come up to me and say, Pastor, I led your daughter to Christ. I said, praise the Lord. I'm not sure which one of us is going to get the reward in heaven, but you're on the list, you know. And one Sunday I preached on hell, and on the way home, she was just disturbed again. And my wife looked at me and said, would you try to take care of this once and for all? You know, and I said, okay. So I took her in the room, and I shared with her what my dad shared with my mom. And I said, I think she was 9 or 10. And I said, April, I said, it's not that God doesn't lie. It's that God can't lie. Took her through it all in. She prayed and accepted Christ as her Savior. She ran out to the living room, and she said to her mother, I'm going to go to heaven. I got saved. And her mother said, oh, that's great. You know, trying to be, you know, pumped out for the 36th time. And she said, no, for reals. Because she said, God can't lie. And so for my daughter and my mother, this song is for them. I don't have to worry about heaven. Aren't you glad for that? I don't have to worry about heaven. He made a way for me. I know my sins are gone forever. He took them to Calvary. And I don't have to worry about heaven. He made a promise to me. No, I don't have to worry for all eternity. He made a promise and he won't forget. I don't have to worry. My Bible says he'll come again for me. I know my mansion's waiting yonder. Wonderful wonders for me. No, I don't have to worry about heaven. Night shall fall. He lights the path for me. I know he'll take me home to glory. Cause someday he's coming back for me. And I don't have to worry about heaven. He made a promise.
don't have to worry for all eternity. He made a promise and He won't forget. Oh yes, He made a promise and He won't forget.
Get a bottle of water, bro. That would be great. Thank you. This next song that I'm going to sing, I don't want to take the time to tell you the whole story behind it. Thank you, brother. You just said it there. But I did not write this next song, but I'm probably the only one that's ever recorded it or sung it. The man that wrote it, his name is Johnny Reb Fulmer. Have any of you good fundamental Baptists ever heard the song, "In 1814 we took a little trip along"? See, now I know who's the real Christians around here. Johnny wrote that song along with another guy by the name of Johnny Horton. But Johnny was a little boy that his daddy was a guitarist for Hank Williams Sr. And on a one-night stand, a woman got pregnant with him. She didn't want him. Daddy didn't want him. He went and lived with an aunt and never knew about Jesus, never knew much, but he knew the family. On Sundays, they went to this church, and they told him he could have a day off on the farm if he'd come to church. Sunday school teacher told him that Jesus loved him. He didn't believe her. When he was 15 years old, he threw a guitar over his back and ran away, went down the road, and came to the first bar that he found and said, "Who owns this place?" And they said, "The guy over there." And he said, "Hey, I can sing better than the idiot you got up there." The guy said, "All right, what's your name?" And he said, "Johnny." And he got up on the stage and said, "We have a Johnny Reb here," and put Johnny on the stage. And thus began a career singing all over the United States. And he was standing on the stage in Reno, Nevada, and he collapsed and was rushed to the hospital. They removed 75% of his stomach, 50% of his intestines, one of his kidneys and half of his liver, and told him he had had 2 months to live. And he got off his bed, all hooked up to all the wires, and he knelt beside his bed and he said, "God, I don't even know if you're real, but if you are, send somebody to tell me about you." And it wasn't even a half an hour, and a Baptist preacher walked into the door to visit the patient in the other bed, spent some time with him, and on the way out the door, stopped to talk to Johnny and led him to Christ. And Johnny, you know, he got out of the hospital. Little did he know that his wife was in the audience and she'd had a heart attack and was in the floor below him. And they got out of the hospital, and for about the next 2 years, he went to church there at this little Baptist church, got grounded in the Lord, and he started singing again. And he wrote this song called "That's My Jesus." And I don't know about you, but I'm so glad I actually know this Jesus, the creator and the sustainer of the world, the one that knows all things, the one that, you know, the Bible says that all power is in His hands. And I'm so glad, you know, the songwriter said, "How big is God? How big and wide the vast domain? He's big enough to fill the mighty universe, yet small enough to live within my heart." And I'm so glad that that's my Jesus. Amen. You know what? Let's see if I can swing this. In that guitar case over there, brother, do you know what a capo is? It's a little thing with a spring on it. There's a lady right there that looks like she knows what it is. While they're getting that, I'll tell you what it is. It's affectionately referred to as a cheater bar. And you put it on here and it'll change keys if you don't want to play in a certain key. And I was talking about that in a church, and the pastor's wife and his little, thank you, this one will be fine. The pastor's wife and his little son were sitting in the second row. And I said, "You know what this is?" And I was talking while I was putting it on. And I said, "That's a cheater bar." And this little boy, you know how little kids whisper, but everyone in the entire place hears them? He said, "He's cheating." So, yeah, I'll do a little cheating while I sing this song.
He can hold back the rushing waters, make the raging winds lie still, calm the mighty ocean if it were His will. make the crystal raindrops fall to earth to cool the day. Stop the rolling thunder in the sky and brush the clouds away. That's my Jesus. That's my Jesus. He has the power to do anything. Nothing's too great or small. And He loves us one and all. Oh, that's my Jesus, the Blessed Son. He can stop the greatest earthquake. He can raise the dead. He can cool the hottest volcano with just a nod of His precious hand. He can make a mighty redwood or a tiny butterfly. He can save the wretched soul where it will never, never die. That's my Jesus. That's my Jesus. He has the power to do anything. Nothing's too great or small. And He loves us one and all. Oh, that's my Jesus, the Blessed Son of God. Yes, that's my Jesus, the Blessed Son of God.
You know, I don't know about you, but I still am proud to be an American. You know, I tell people this world, this country right now, is upside down, sideways, twisted, every angle you can think of. It's just, it's a mess. You know that? It's an absolute mess. But you know what? The same Jesus is still alive. And I'm still proud to be an American. I grew up in Cody, Wyoming, as I mentioned a minute ago. And we still had parades on the 4th of July. Do they have them around here anymore? All right. A lot of them, people just, that's just kind of gone by the wayside. But we still had them back home. And every year, we had a 4th of July parade called the Cody Stampede, the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. 1976, the bicentennial of America, they had that good fundamental Baptist become the MC of the parade there for the week. John Wayne was the MC of the whole thing. And in downtown Cody, there's a place called the Irma Hotel, which was a hotel given to John Wayne's daughter. I'm mixing up there. That was given to Buffalo Bill's daughter, Buffalo Bill Cody's daughter. And in the window of the Irma Hotel was a saddle given to Buffalo Bill by the Queen of England. And it was completely covered in silver. So they took that saddle, they put it on a great big Appaloosa stallion, big giant horse, put big John Wayne on that horse. And here he come down the parade, and they had 30 horses out front, 30 horses behind, and they're all doing this configuration and everything. I mean, it was just a sight. And a little 10-year-old kid reached in his pocket and pulled out a pack of Black Cat firecrackers and lit them and threw them out in front of John Wayne. And, of course, his horse reared up in the air. And, I mean, those 60 horses, it was a mess for quite a while. They finally got it all straightened out. And John Wayne handed the reins of his horse to the guy next to him, got off of his horse, went down and grabbed that little 10-year-old boy and spanked him in front of everybody. Just spanked him. The crowd cheered. This is 1976, you know. Nowadays, he'd go to prison, but back then, you know. And my dad always said, you know, that family never washed those Levi's. They put them in a frame on the wall, you know. Our kid was spanked by John Wayne, you know. But I remember standing alongside the road with my dad as those parades went by. And my dad, he taught us when we were kids to put our hands over our heart. We snapped our heels together and our left hand at our side. My dad was Army. And we paid our respects to that flag because it stood for something special. And I just remembered that. I was driving down the road one day here a couple years or so ago, and I turned on the radio, and Sean Hannity had on a liberal and a conservative. And the liberal said that the United States flag was racist and stood for all these evil things. And it made me mad. And so I, at the same time as I hit the button on my radio to turn it off, I yelled, "That's our flag." And then I pulled over to the side of the road because I thought, that's a good line. And I'm a songwriter. So I went over to the side of the road, wrote it down and jotted some words down. And I wrote this song called "That's Our Flag." I hope you're not ashamed to be an American. And, you know, people say, well, I don't want to wear the American flag because it might offend somebody. Well, I'll pay their airplane ticket to go to the country of their choice. Go leave. Every year, the Hollywood stars, when a conservative or, you know, somebody's winning, well, I'm going to leave this country. They never leave. I pray for them to leave, and they never leave. But I hope that you are proud to be an American. I was standing with my daddy at that parade in 69. Those soldiers marched on by, missing arms, legs, and eyes. Some people clapped, some just cried, while others coughed and criticized. But when they held old glory high, I saw that pride in my father's eyes. And he said, "Son, that's our flag. So stand up at attention whenever she passes by. And every time you look upon her, remember freedom is not free. She stands for those who gave their lives to give us liberty. So, son, stand up tall for her and show your respect. Put your hand upon your heart, because that's our." Well, there are people in this country who don't seem to understand. Our freedoms could all be lost if we just let them slip away. Well, some may harm and burn our flag and take a knee defiantly when they hold old glory high. There's still some pride in this American's eyes, because that's my flag. Now I stand up at attention whenever she passes by, and every time I look upon her, I remember freedom is not free. Stands for those who gave their lives to give us liberty. So I stand up tall for her, and I show my respect. I put my hand on my heart, because that's my flag. There's a reason for these freedoms all across our land today. They were sent down from above, from the one who gave his love. But now today he's pushed aside, his Bible changed and minimized. So we must hold his banner high,
refuse to compromise, to see no shame in our Father's eyes, because His Word is our flag. So stop and pay attention whenever you hear it read. Remember, heaven was not brief. It stands for one who gave his life to give us liberty. So just stand up tall for him and show your respect and hide his word deep in your heart. Because that
player is. I lost her. You want to go to the piano? We'll do that one here in just a second. I'll do a song real quick while she's going to the piano. And it's just a simple truth that you'll get when I start singing it. How about that? If I can find it here.
In this life that I'm living, so many times I struggle, fighting hard to keep from sinning, doing battle with the devil. And when I face temptation sore, stand before another door. Oh, where should I go when I need an answer? It's in the book. I took a look. All the answers to my problems were there in that old book. I didn't need psychology or this world's philosophies. Oh, just one King James Bible was all that it took. When your life seems so confusing, surrounded by such trouble, when your heart is tossed and turning and your soul begins to tremble, the world will come to you and say they've found a newer, better way. Oh, but there's just one place to go when you need an answer. It's in the book. Just take a look. All the answers to your problems are there in that old book. You'll never need psychology or this world's philosophy. Oh, it's all in the Bible if you'll just take a look. When your life seems so confusing, surrounded by Miss Rumpers, every day things are changing. It's hard to keep on standing for God and old time living, while others keep on turning. And when they come to you and say, what was wrong is right today, there's just one place to go when you need an answer. It's in the book. Just take a look. All the answers to your problems are there in that old book. You'll never need psychology or this world's philosophy. Oh, it's all in the Bible if you'll just take a look. Oh, yes, one King James Bible is all that it took.
Okay, now you think that I made a mistake right there, but really what I did is, it's a segue to let you know we have CDs out there, and there are no mistakes on them, all right? Aren't you glad you got a Bible? Amen. All right. I'll put this over here real quick. I have been bedridden for about 65 days, and my mother called me one day, and see, back when I was young, I got away from the Lord and was out of the will of God, and then I got right with the Lord, and the Lord allowed me to be used of Him, and so I was very ill, and my mother called me one day, and she was in tears, very broken, and she said, I don't understand why God is doing this. She said, why didn't God do this to you when you were a rebel? Why is He doing it now? You're just trying to serve Him with your life. And, you know, I told my mom, I said, Mom, searching for the answer why to life's troubles will put you in the sane asylum. Your goal in life is to ask God, how can I use this for your glory? What do you want me to do with this? And so I prayed with my wife, my mother on the phone. And about a half an hour, 45 minutes later or so, my mom called me again. And she said, son, I think I understand it now. And I said, you do? And she said, yes. And I said, okay, explain it to me. And she said, well, she said, I got to thinking. If God wanted it that way, Daniel would have never been in the lion's den. She said, if God wanted it that way, Job would have never lost his family. She said, if God wanted it that way, Joseph would have never been in prison. See, in the Bible, Joseph, in front of his brothers, he said, you meant this for evil, but God meant it for good. When He had tried me, I shall come forth as gold, Job said. And I said to my mother, I said, hold on a minute. And I reached over beside the bed and I grabbed a pen and a notepad. And while my mom talked, I wrote down the chorus to this song. And then I wrote the words, you know, the verses. And, you know, I'll be honest with you. I wrote this song kind of just to encourage my children and my family. And going through a difficult time. It comes from a very deep place. And I began to understand that God truly makes no mistakes. And God has in your life, I don't, every one of you here, if we took the time, I went through all the stories, there's a multitude of stories of life circumstances. But I know this, if you can finally come to the conclusion that God didn't mess up and that God is trying to use it in a special way to help others, to help you, yourself, your family, for His glory, for eternity's sake, I believe you'll find great value out of what God is bringing you through in your life. I pray this song will be a blessing to you if God wanted it that way. If God wanted it that way, Daniel would have never known the lion's den. And Joseph would have the throne without the prison. David would have never known Saul's jealousy. And Job would have never lost his family. Stephen would have never been stoned. And the beatings of Paul would have never been known. But God wanted it that way. God wanted it that way. Every trial, every test was only for the best. It was always in His plan. Though we as the potter molds the clay, God just wanted it that way. If God wanted it that way, no one would have ever known the trail of blood. And Tyndale would have the Word of God completed. Preachers would have never heard their children cry as they walked alone to that stake to die. Nero
would have never had the throne. The Colosseums of Rome would have never been known. But God wanted it that way. God wanted it that way. Every trial, every test was only for the best. It was always in His plan, though we may not understand. As the potter molds the clay, God just wanted it that way. Lives we live down here, sunshine will always know the rain to fall, and each day can bring us joy as well as sorrow. Trials will always come from day to day, and heartaches may cross our path along the way. Oh, but He holds our lives in His hands, and our hopes and our tears He will always understand. For God wanted it that way. God wanted it that way. Every trial, every test was only for the best. It was always in His plan, though we may not understand. As the potter molds the clay, God just wanted it that way. It was always in His plan, though we may not understand. As the potter molds the clay, God just wanted it that way. As the clay, God just wanted it that way.
That's a blessing. I want to have us bow our heads and close our eyes just for a moment. Naomi, just play that song a little bit. You know, it's one thing to hear somebody get up and talk about God sustaining you through the trials. When you know the person talking hadn't been through a lot, maybe. But when somebody's been through what Brother Nichols has been through, it means different. And I wonder if you're going through something this morning. As best as you know, it's not of your own making. Just God brought it into your life. Because He wanted it that way. You know what we're going to do? We're going to take a minute. Why don't you, if maybe you need to come this morning, just tell the Lord it's okay. Why don't you do that? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just come to the altar and tell Him it's okay, Lord. God spoke to your heart through the singing. Something in your life. Best as you know how, it's not of your own making. It's just God's plan. So I can tell Him in my seat, yeah, but there's something about kneeling. There's something about bowing. Several have come. We have time for you. God wanted it that way. Trial. Health issue. Difficulty. We get ourselves in a mess sometimes because of our sin, our rebellion, being backslidden. But sometimes that's not the case. Sometimes God just brings that difficulty along. And you heard the preacher say this morning, you know, there's no explanation for how he's doing what he's doing today, except for through all that time, he just kept going. Didn't quit. Didn't give up. I know the Lord's speaking to hearts this morning, speaking to mine.